Well, it's really nice to be with you. And the speaker in front of you is no different than anybody else here. We're all going at the same pace, and we all have many ailments to try and overcome. But it is nice to be with you for the ministry of God's Word and to look at some of the things that God has laid upon our hearts. I want to read tonight two portions of Scripture. And first of all, I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 3. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 3. And verse number 1. Matthew 3 and verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had this raiment of camel's hair, a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, just over, please, to the Gospel of John this time, and chapter number 1. John chapter 1, and we'll commence to read on verse number 6. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I speak, he that cometh after me is prepared before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. On down now, just to verse number 26. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And we know that God will bless to his reading from his own good word. It's really my exercise tonight to look at John the Baptist. And, you know, when we look upon him, he was a man who had a very short life on earth. But a man who we will see tonight that was very obedient to God's word. He was a man who delighted to do God's will. And I think we can take great comfort from it, that even though that he might have had a short life, it was a life that was recognized by God. And he had a commendation by the Lord Jesus himself to say that he was a burning light. He was a man who had great authority, and a man who the Lord really respected. While he lived only a relatively short life, I would think in the region of about 30 years, there was very few saints ever received as high a commendation from the Lord Jesus as he did. And there's very many instructions that we can take from John. And you know, I'm often very thankful that John was a preacher that never put himself in front of the Lord. He never ever put himself as a superior preacher to the Lord. He always gave the Lord his place. I want to look tonight, if I may, with you. Very simply, I want to look at his obedience. His obedience. Then I want to draw your attention to his faith. And then I want to look finally at his message. So we'll look first of all at his obedience. As you know, it's very interesting to think that when we look at his obedience, it was very much manifested at the baptism of the Lord Jesus. Because we would look and see how John had been very honored to have the privilege of baptizing the Lord Jesus. And you know, whenever he looked at the Lord coming that day, down yonder to the banks of the Jordan, and really whenever we look upon John, he was baptizing out in the desert. And people were coming out to hear him, and we'll talk to him about that in a moment. But his message was that as far as Christ was concerned, he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He preached repentance. And really today, when we look upon the message that we should be preaching today, it is a message of repentance. He preached a message of faith. We're going to see that as well. But nice to understand and to see today that on this particular day, when the Lord Jesus came out to him and to see him, the Lord Jesus drew near. It must have been wonderful for John to think that here was the one that I've been speaking about. Here's the one that I've been telling everyone about. And here he is coming to be baptized. And John says, no, we've got it the wrong way round. We really should be, you should be baptizing me. No, the Lord says, we have something to know here. We have something to understand here. And the Lord Jesus, always being pure and holy, never had any need to repent of anything. We know that. We know clearly that as far as the Lord was concerned, he was holy and spotless and undefiled. But John's first reaction was to protest and to ask the Lord to baptize him. However, the Lord in his patient manner instructs John. He says, Now listen to these words, and we read it. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So by being obedient, John was going to be one with the Lord in his work of glorifying the Father by satisfying God's high standard of righteousness. I don't know whether John fully understood those words that the Lord told him. I'm not so sure whether John fully appreciated what the Lord was there to be baptized with. But really it's significant to think that what was the Lord was really saying to John. He says, it's not just me in this partnership. He says, it's you and I working together. Working together. And really, the Lord was bringing John into a very special partnership with himself in the work that he was doing. And without any further hesitation, what did John do? He really says he fulfilled the request of the Lord. Now, I want to stop there for a moment. Whenever we think of our relationship with the Lord Jesus, you know, there's no way that even in New Connacht or in Kilwinning, that we think we can do the Lord's work on our own. Why is it we come into his presence on a Tuesday evening just to supplicate his will? Speak, we are actually speaking to God through the Lord Jesus. And what we're really asking for is something that we really, I hope, have the faith in God that he's going to answer. I'm going to touch on that in a moment. We're really pleading with God that he will hear us and that what we're doing is working in partnership with him and we are his servants here upon earth. The Lord's not here today. In physical form, I mean. He's here in spirit, I know. But really, we as the people of God have a responsibility of working in partnership in obedience to his word. You see, I wonder sometimes if we... And I'm really speaking personally tonight. I wonder sometimes, are we thinking to ourselves, we're doing God's work, but we'll just do it our own way. Are we going to just manufacture our own things? No, I would say, brethren and sisters, today, God's work is very clear that we need to have a partnership with him. Now, where was that partnership created? It was the moment that we believed. There was a relationship made. The moment that we put our trust in the Lord Jesus, we became a servant of Christ. When we look upon it, brethren and sisters, tonight, we know we couldn't do the work on our own. And why is it sometimes that God brings us into circumstances and we have failed him? We haven't been obedient to his word. We have let that partnership be divided. And we really haven't worked in conjunction with what God asks us to do. Now, I want to say this, brethren and sisters, that when we look upon John, who in his right mind would ever have thought, John, I really want you to go out into the desert to preach. I really want you to go out into the wilderness and you're going to preach. He would have said, now, do I really want to go to the wilderness to preach? Whoever's going to come to hear me? Whoever am I going to preach to? But when you do something in obedience to God's word, God will honour. I think that's a very encouraging word. It says that they came out from Jerusalem, and they came out from Judea, and they came out to hear him, and they repented, and they were baptised. You see, brethren and sisters, we have a little thought in our mind that we need to work in the big cities. Oh, it's great to go to a big company. And, you know, I have heard on many occasions where preachers sometimes don't like coming to small companies because, you know, there's not the crowd. Not the crowd. But you see, John wasn't looking at the crowd. What he was doing was obedience to the will of God, to God's word. And I would say, brethren and sisters, in a wide capacity of things tonight, we should take a leaf out of John's book and say, now, wherever the Lord asks us to go, we should go. I want to say another thing now in passing. Sometimes in society, in our society today, there's many people are written off. They're really gone beyond hope as far as society is concerned. But in the eyes of God, there's still a being, there's still someone in need of salvation. And while society might have written them off, it's an amazing what God's word can do. It's an amazing what the power of God can do to a sinner to bring him to the Saviour. I can recall a man in Northern Ireland. And you know, before ever he got saved, he could never read nor write. He was a man who dug graves at the graveyard. That was his job. But he could never read nor write. But God in his mercy saved him. And you know how he learned to read and write? Through the scriptures. He learned the word of God. And again I say in today's society, I have looked upon people who have been into the cults and the awful things that are going on in society today. And yet God in his matchless grace has saved them and made them a trophy of God, trophy of grace. John was one who without it God's will. Now I would say tonight, it'd be a great challenge to all of our hearts tonight. Ask ourselves the question, what does God want me to do? What does God really want me to do? How could I be obedient to God's word? How could I create that partnership with him? How could I work in conjunction with him? Well, first of all, brethren and sisters, I would say this. There needs to be that revelation from God. And how do we get it? Through his word. You see, we often, if we were preaching the gospel tonight, we would often preach that a seeking sinner will always find a seeking saviour. Do you know something? Could I just apply that to the heart of that saint tonight? The saint that wants to know God. God will create a partnership with him and will make him a trophy of grace. And really, what God is looking to see now, am I trying to make wonderful people in New Cumnock? Am I trying to establish someone who is mighty and powerful in Cumnock? No. What we really should be doing is, I want Christ to be powerful in New Cumnock. You see, whenever John witnessed this wonderful revelation, by his obedience, he was one who was able to witness the Lord Jesus coming up out of the water and the Spirit descending upon Christ and to hear those words coming from the Father himself. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It must have been wonderful for John to see that. And you know, I want to say this, brothers and sisters. If the BBC had heard that there's a great work been done in Cumnock, and you know, they came to you and said, now, we would like to interview about this great work that's going on in Cumnock. You know, there'd be a wee tendency, wouldn't there, just to tell them how wonderful things we have done. John didn't do that, you know. Whenever they came to John and talked about his preaching, he sheltered himself behind the Lord Jesus. He says, not me. He says, I am the one who come before. There's one who was before me, but he comes after me. It's the Lord Jesus. Do you know something about him? He says, whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to unloose. John was one of humility. He was one of a humble spirit. But he grasped hold of this one thing, that I have a relationship, I have a partnership with Christ. Brethren and sisters, I think we can take great comfort from this. Do you know the Bible says those words, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do we not take comfort from that when we're going to speak to someone about their soul? Can we not take comfort from that when we have to go out with a gospel tract to the doorstep? Can we not take comfort from that great wonderful truth that I have a relationship with Christ? I have a shelter. I have a comfort. A joy. A peace. And when I'm doing the work, I'm really doing it in partnership with Christ. You see, brothers and sisters, John was obedient to God's word. And John's experience, I think, provides us with two lessons. Two lessons: we are workers together with our Lord. And in carrying out his purposes on earth, when we are obedient to his word and we are walking in his will, we are working in a partnership with him to ensure that his glories become more fully manifested to all men. What would you like to do, brothers and sisters, tonight? Would you not like to be the instrument that God uses to lead someone to the Saviour? I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to do that. And I tell you tonight how your heart is thrilled and your soul is really over the moon when you're that instrument God uses to bring someone to the Saviour. But you see, whatever happens, we don't go around the world boasting about it, but we will say all credit to God, all credit to Christ, because we work in partnership with Him. Second lesson, our understanding of God's purposes and our appreciation of Christ will increase as we become more obedient to Him. Do we desire to know our blessed Lord? Do we desire to get to understand Him? Do we really put ourselves at his bidding and say, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? You see, the first step of learning more about the Lord and His purposes lies in being obedient to those things which He has taught us from His Word. So it's a good thing to be obedient. And I could take again great comfort from this, brethren and sisters, tonight, that whatever the Lord asks me to do, I really should do it. And remember this, when He said to His disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, He was really speaking to me. Because my Bible tells me that I am a disciple of the Lord's. And really what I'm doing is working in partnership and obedience to His will. So I ask the question, and then I move on. Am I obedient to God's word? And we read about that clearly in Matthew chapter 3. Very clearly, to look upon those things that John was obedient to the work of God, or the word of God. But then, I want to think of his faith for a moment. You know, if we were to understand faith tonight, and we know the little lesson, don't we, what faith stands for. It means forsaking all, I trust him. And when we look at John the Baptist, who fulfilled the most of his public ministry in the wilderness, naturally speaking, a man who was going into the harsh wilderness environment would really say, he would really prepare himself. He would really need to have good preparation to go out into the wilderness. But it says about John, what was his preparation? It says by the food that he took, honey and locusts. Not much really to feed a man, but it's what God provided for him. And also the appropriate clothing, just enough to meet his need. Could I just say this? Do you not see a man that was totally reliant on God? Totally dependent upon his God. And I look upon a man who was dependent upon the God of creation, who was able to supply everything that John needed. Simple fare of locust and wild honey that sustained them. The camel's hair would just be sufficient for his clothing. You know something, brothers and sisters, this really touches my heart tonight. As I think we're living in a very materialistic age. We're living in a society today when we really are not dependent upon God in the way we used to. Sorry, in the way that John did. Usually in the Old Testament we would see that the prophet with a message for the people went into the cities to proclaim it. But here in obedience to God's will, John went into the desolate west wilderness to preach, and his faith in God was rewarded. And his preaching was blessed because they went out to hear him and he saw souls saved. It's a great thing to have faith in God. And I look in again in Matthew chapter 3 and I want to draw your attention to it for a moment. When I look upon John, who would ever have thought that God could bless in the midst of a wilderness? Some people might say, You know, when I look upon John, I wonder what was through his mind now. I'm going out to preach. And I'm going out into the wilderness. I'm going out into the harshest part of the country. Do you think I'm right? Many people will look at him and say, John, you're off your head. But John says, no, I have faith in God. I look around the county of Ayrshire tonight. There's so many little companies. And the question that I hear so often, we're so old, we can't do anything about it. Oh, I'm past it as far as that is concerned. There's no way I can take public meetings. There's no way I can do all of the work of God. I want to say, brothers and sisters, faith in God can produce miracles. And while we may not have the physical ability to do things, if we have the faith, God will answer our prayers. If we have that dependence upon God, if we have that dependence to be obedient to his word and to put our faith in him, I tell you, brothers and sisters, we would be living in the same days as John the Baptist. We would see and see God's hand in blessing. I'm going to give you a personal experience, and I trust that I don't want to bring any glory to myself when I say this. When we moved from Northern Ireland to England with my job, I remember looking around the place where we were thinking of living, where I was going to work. And you know, there was about three assemblies in that vicinity. I went to them all, and yes, there was good companies. And I spoke it through with my wife and said, now, well, we'll have to make up our mind where we're going to live and what assembly we're going to associate with. I was at the Christmas conference this particular year, and I happened to speak to Albert Lackey, a minister of the truth. And I says, Mr. Lackey, I'm moving over to England in such and such a time. And I says, I was just asking your advice now, which assembly do you think should I maybe join myself to? Very simple question, as I thought. He says, Martin, there's a little company. He says, I don't know the name of the street that it's in, but he says, it's just underneath the football ground in Stoke-on-Trent. He says, that little company would really appreciate your help. I didn't even know about it. You know, I had looked at the address book of the assemblies and all the rest of them and thought, well, how do I not know about it? So the next week I was over, I sought it out. It was a Thursday evening. I decided to go. There was two brethren, three sisters, gathered together in a little company just like this. Their Bible reading and prayer meeting. You know something, brethren and sisters? I found myself at home. I really did. And today, and I can look back and say now, I chose just a small company. And I was really guided by a spiritual man. But really, I would say tonight, my faith was tried on many occasions, because when I went to that little company, there was a brother says, hallelujah, my prayer's been answered. He left the company to come up to his elderly parents in Scotland. That left us, who were down to three brethren for a long time. We labored hard, but God was good. That company today is over 37 in fellowship. What are we saying, brothers and sisters? When God gives us instructions, if we carry them out, God will honor. Is there not another verse in the Bible that says, them that honor me, I will honor? So in other words, what I'm trying to get the message across to us tonight, that sometimes we look from a quantitative side. We really look for numbers, but it's not all numbers. There's a little word called faith. Those that are faithful, God will honor. And when we look upon today, we're living in a day when we sometimes are materialistic in our views, and we're really looking for numbers. Can I just also say this? We have to recognize today that the Lord is the supplier of our material needs. And really, we sometimes we say, well, what he has given to us, it really belongs to the Lord. And what we do is we give it back to the Lord. We use our own selves and what he has given us to be totally dependent upon him. And it is sad today to think that often in our material sphere, and even on occasions in our spiritual sphere, we plan and we try to accomplish our goals without him. But you see, brothers and sisters, I would like to again bring you to the path of blessing. And I would like you to look with me today that we need to cast ourselves into the hands of the Lord, as John the Baptist did. I believe he did. He alone can take the needs. He alone can take our feeble efforts. And when we carry out their deeds in fellowship with himself, it will bring forth fruit for his glory, fruit for his vineyard. And above all, it will bring glory to his name. You know, there's one thing I would love to do tonight, brothers and sisters. I would love to say that I have been used to bring glory to the name of God. It's not to get your name in the paper. Oh, well done. You know, it's so easy when you go to the door some nights at the end of a gospel meeting and someone says, now, I really enjoyed that meeting. That was really good. And it does, you know, it fills the heart and the soul a wee bit. But you know, it's much better. It's much better that you can go home and get down on your knees and say, I was faithful to his word, and to see the fruits following the preaching of the gospel. It really is. So tonight, while John was obedient, John was faithful. What did John preach? Oh, this is wonderful, isn't it? To think that when we look upon John as he preached the message, I want to leave three things with you. He preached a message. He preached a message. What was it? That all men might believe. He preached a message of repentance. He preached a message of faith. Where do we read that? Well, when we come to John chapter 1, that lovely statement, there was a man. That's all it is. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's the recommendation that we have in the scripture. John the writer wrote of John the Baptist. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He says, the same came for a witness. Here is the one that came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. He says that all men through him might believe. Brethren and sisters, that's the message we preach. The message is tonight that men might believe. What do they believe? That they might believe in Christ, the Son of God. A message of faith. But it also says in our previous chapter, it was a message of repentance. And I think it's good to understand what we mean by repentance. And I make no apology for just trying to understand it tonight for a moment. When I look upon repentance, what is repentance? And repentance is applicable to the sinner and to the saint. Sometimes we think whenever we're saved, we don't need to repent. I believe repentance is much applicable to the child of God as it is to the unbeliever. What is repentance? First of all, a repentance is to look into the heart of ourselves, looking into our innermost being, and to agree with God that we're not fulfilling his will, that we're not faithful to his word. It's really a turning away from the thoughts that fill our breast. It's agreeing with God that I'm wrong. It's agreeing with God that I've went astray if we're unsaved. It's agreeing with God that I have failed. Do we leave it there? No. I believe that when we look upon repentance, it's a turning away and setting our sights upon God. In other words, a turning away from where we're going to God himself. So repentance, John preached it. What was the fruit of repentance? There was those who were baptized. But then he preached faith. I've covered that already. trusting and depending upon his God. And tonight, I read in this verse that he preached concerning the Lord Jesus. What did he preach? He says, I'm going to preach that here is one who is the light of the world. The light that shines in the darkness. And could we not, each one of us, take a lesson from that? That we are the light on earth. We should reflect the light of the glory of God. And John says, he was not that light. John was saying clearly, I'm not the light. But he says, I'm sent to bear witness of the light. That's our responsibility. We have a responsibility to bear witness of the light that we represent. And I wonder tonight, how bright our light is shining. You know, we sing that little hymn with the boys and girls, don't we? Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light. Like a little candle burning in the night. I wonder tonight, is our light shining? Or is it dim? I wonder in the town of New Cumnock, or in the town of Kilwinning, as people look upon me, they look upon a dull glow. A dull glow. Or they look upon a bright and shining light. Can I give you another personal example? My Sunday school superintendent in Dromore. My father told me the story of one day that he was going to work on the bus. And the superintendent was sitting in the bus. And a couple of boys behind the superintendent of the Sunday school were taking a bit of fun of the old man. And really making fun of him. Till one of them, the other man who was sitting on the other side of the bus, went over to them and said, now I want to tell you something, you might be taking fun of that old man. But he says, if there's one person going to heaven, it's that man. He says, that man is a child of God. And while there was others who would take fun out of the Christian, here was a man who recognized that he was a light that was shining in the darkness. And no matter where we are, whether it be school, whether it be at home, in the home, or in the street, there's one thing we should be recognized by, is that we should be shining brightly for him. Now you know as well as I do that to get a bright light, you need to have power. You need to have energy. And the only way that we can get the energy, well, you can try and keep fit if you wanted to, but the only way that we'll get power and energy is by energizing ourselves with the Word of God. And really depending upon God. Where else could we go if we weren't dependent upon him? So John could say, he says, I'm not the light. He says, I am the witness to bear witness of the light. And he says, in verse number 8, he says, that's the true light. What does the true light do? It lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In other words, we would have to say, now, we can't save souls. But what we can do is to illuminate them to the true light, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. That is the message that we should be taking to all mankind. And whether it be a simple word of testimony or a simply living amongst your neighbours and telling them at every opportunity of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask you a question. And I challenge my own soul to it. Because I'd have to say I've maybe failed today. When's the last time you told somebody about the Lord Jesus? When's the last time that you told someone about the light of the world? And you say, well, I can't remember. It's really a shame on us, isn't it? That we have a responsibility to illuminate to the world around us that we are a light shining in the darkness. And that we are a reflection of the true light. The Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you, when you ask yourself the question, it's amazing. It is amazing that you have difficulty thinking, now, when did it last? When did I last tell someone about the Lord Jesus? the message he preached. And what do you think? Who did he preach? He preached the Lord Jesus. I've said already tonight, if John was been interviewed, John says no. He says, I'm not the light. He says, I am only a servant. And he would take his attention to the Lord Jesus, and he says, this is the one. He said, and we read it. He says, this is the one that I've told you about. This is the one of whom I speak. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. What a statement. He was always in eternity. What John was really preaching of the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus. And he was telling to the people around, he says, I came. I witnessed about him. But really, you're privileged today that you've got him in your very midst. You know, I often think of John's disciples. Whenever the Lord Jesus came on the scene, you remember what the disciples said? Well, why are you letting this man take over? You know, and what did he do? He turned his own disciples to the Lord Jesus and said, that's the Christ. In other words, he wasn't looking the followers to follow him. He was wanting the followers to follow Christ. And John was one who preached about Christ, the Son of God. Brethren and sisters, that should be the bane of our life. That should be the center focus of our life. I've got Christ. What need I more? He preached about a blessing as well. Because that's what I read in chapter 1 and verse 29. Whenever the Lord Jesus saw John walking on that, it must have been a wonderful joy to him, you know. As he was working hard in the desert, he saw this figure approaching him. And he says, behold. Did he? No. I believe he shouted it with boldness. That word behold, you know, is a very interesting word. It's really to take a good glimpse. Make sure you understand him. Make sure you see a good picture of him. He says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What a blessing. You know something? We're going to see him. We've never seen him by the natural eye. John did. But we're going to see him in all his beauty. Whom have we not seen? We love. Tell me this. Are you looking forward to seeing the Lord Jesus? To think that there's one who took our place. One that we have witnessed about on earth. One we have told everybody about. We've never seen him. Never seen him. God's word has told us about him. But we're going to be with him. Why are we going to be with him? Because he took away my sins. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. And tonight, we can say of a truth tonight, as we behold him, the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world. So tonight, in the closing moments of our meeting, are we obedient to his word? Do we want to be obedient to his word? The only way we can be obedient is if God's word tells me to do it, do it. That's baptism. That's where it starts. That's whenever we look upon the word of God and recognize that if the Lord says I need to be baptized, I need to be baptized. Honouring his name. If the Lord says I need to go down into the waters of baptism, it's a command. We need to do it. If he says I need to be gathered to his name, that's where we go. If he tells us tonight that in his word, clearly what the character of a Christian should be, that's what we do. We haven't got a book of the law, you know. We've got God's word. Then we need to be faithful. We need to be those who recognize that our faithfulness is dependent upon God. And last but not least, we have a wonderful message to proclaim, the message concerning the Lord Jesus. I trusted these words. I've enjoyed them. And I really would like to say tonight, it'd be great that if I have just brought to your attention the wonderful man, Christ Jesus the Lord. The Lamb of God. Shall we just close in prayer? Do we give thanks for the food? Just. Our Father, we come into thy holy presence in the precious name of thy Son, and we do thank thee and praise thee for the opportunity that has been given to us tonight to speak well of the Lord Jesus. We're thankful for John the Baptist, who witnessed about the Lord Jesus and could clearly define him as the one whose shoe latches he wasn't worthy to unloose. We're thankful, our Father, for the characteristics that we have looked together with John the Baptist tonight. A man who was obedient, a man who was faithful, a man who had a wonderful message. And tonight, our Father, we trust that we may take a leaf, we may take an example from him and be able to testify of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember us now as we are together, the fellowship that we enjoy and the food that thou hast provided. We pray that thou wilt bless it to our needs and separate us with thy blessing in the precious name of thy Son and Lord Jesus Christ.